And please stand with me if you're able to. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start reading from verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Verse 9. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." And then check out verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. Thank you for this passage, these scriptures that we just read. These are what I would call life verses. They'll stick with us as Christians for our entire life, because this will indicate that you've got a calling for each and every Christian in the church, in the body of Christ. Some of us are called to serve within the church body. That's probably most of us. Some of us are called to serve you, maybe in the battlefields, in the military, or in the workplace, or the battlefield of the neighborhood. Or you call some of us maybe to be a prayer warrior on our knees. Whatever that is, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. So speak to us here, God. Protect us for this time. I believe this is a holy moment where you're going to speak to us here, God. Reveal yourself to us. Show us how you love us. And show us your plan for us, both now and into the future, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. So our vision is that we envision a church full of Christians that are serving God and that are walking in their spiritual gifts and their calling. You're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen? And you and I need to discover what these good works are. And we believe this is your path that you will be on with God. This is just our way to illustrate with pictures for our vision for this church and for you. And truth be told, for many of you that are serving with us here, there's like 25-ish or so of us that are serving currently, this is the exact path that I know that I have to pray for many of you individually and to help you and to kind of nudge you forward so you grow forward. Don't just go forward. We want to grow forward with God. Amen? We want to keep growing. So as we begin, though, I want to invite JP to come up. JP is going to share a little bit briefly about his experience of serving God here with you and I. Come on up. So cute. This is his son Elijah. You gonna share?
Good morning, everyone. Today, I wanted to share about how serving God has helped me. So during this time that I have been serving God, especially during the last three months, I have been able to grow and mature. For example, with my family, having a wife and three kids, God has shown me how selfish I was before, where I used to think I had everything under control. That was a false sense of security. And like I said, a lot of selfishness towards my wife and my kids. Now, with the challenge of a bigger family, for sure, I know nothing is under my control, but under God's control. In my work, I am more open to have a deeper conversation and express even openly my hope and my faith in Jesus. And why I think you should serve God. First, I want to share 1 Peter 2:9, if you have your Bibles. 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." When you serve God, you will live with a sense of purpose, And also you will realize what God can do with that ordinary people like you and me. And also please remember that you are now God's special people. And the purpose of this privilege is to proclaim the praises of Him. And one of the best ways to proclaim these praises is by serving Jesus. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, JP and Elijah. So cute. All right, so God's got a calling on each and every one of us. And again, you are created in Christ Jesus for good works. So if you have the PDF, you can follow along with it. I'm going to also show it here on the screen, on the display. So the first, that's just the cover PDF. Again, keep us in prayer because this is number 4 in a 5-step series. It's just the introduction or welcome. But we're going to be here on page 3. If you have the PDF, you can look at it. We're on page 3. So in serving God, we got to look at what is serving. Serving God is a form of love. It's a form of worship. Here's what Jesus says in John 14. Again, it's on the screen, on the display. It's on the PDF download. Every screen here will have this. If you want to scan the QR code, you could download it and follow along. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So when he says it in the Bible, if I love him, remember what he told Peter after the resurrection of Jesus? He approaches Peter and he says, Peter, do you what? Love me. Okay. And so it's an issue of love. What does he tell him? He tells him 3 things. One of them is, feed my sheep. You know, give them my word. This is the challenge that we have in today's churches, is to feed people with the word of God. Amen. Another thing he says, tend to the lambs. Disciple them. Help them. And a lot of us might go, wait a second. Like you did with me, Jesus, that takes a long time. Takes quite a bit of time, right? You got to raise kids. So those are the moms and dads, you know. A lot of diapers. You tell the kids, why do you keep saying that? Well, I'm going to keep telling you until you do it. So it's just like how God is, right? And he's a loving heavenly father. So serving God is an issue of love. It's an act of love. Okay, so when we apply the Bible, when we do what he says, keep my commandments, he says, what you're doing is you're giving the Lord first place. He becomes Lord. We could sing about it. We just did. You are Lord. I am just a servant. So by calling him Lord, it's indicative of a relationship. We say Lord Jesus Christ. It's not his first name. And it's not just a title. It's not Lord Jesus. Like we might have King Henry or someone, President someone. It's not just a title. When you call God Lord, it indicates a relationship. And in that relationship, when you call him Lord, what is your part of that relationship? That means you're a servant because you have one Lord, and that one Lord has many servants. So we call him Lord, we sing about him being Lord, we read about him being Lord, we got to be serious about that. So when you're serving God and obeying his word, it's because we love him. Now, that's important because many of us, we might want to serve God, and we're trying to heal the wounds of the past. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You're trying to please someone else. Someone might go to college, and I got to get that degree because, ooh, I want to please mom. You guys remember Despicable Me? Remember that cartoon? Anybody seen that? Who's seen that? What's interesting in that is they must have had like a board of psychologists, or at least they understood human nature. Now, that's not a Bible movie. But we want to touch upon things to help people to heal emotionally in the heart, mentally in the mind with our thoughts. The whole premise behind it is, remember, little Gru, he wanted to be kind of like the most villainous villain. Why? Who is he trying to please? If you're actually paying attention to that cartoon, he's trying to please mom. Isn't that interesting? Look, mom, I drew a rocket ship. She's, ah! Look, mom, you know, I made a rocket out of macaroni or whatever it is. Ah! And here's a kid in his backyard, his own backyard, kind of like an Elon Musk with his own rocket ship. Right? But he did it for real, at least in the cartoon. Look, mom, I built my own rocket ship. And if you look at it, go back and watch that. I'm not promoting a worldly cartoon, but it's interesting to see. He's looking at mom, He's pushing the button, and poof, and you see mom, you hear her gasp. They actually literally put this in here. And the rocket actually takes off. He's a little kid, and he builds a real rocket in his backyard. And he's looking like all proud. The rocket takes off, and then what does she do later on? She scoffs at it, right? And you see him kind of sunk. He's not looking at the rocket ship taking off. My point is sometimes we're trying to please someone else. Why? It's kind of like that old song, looking for love and all the... See, you guys know that, right? Looking for love, right? So that's what we might be doing. And if so, you might need a healing in your heart, emotional healing. Why? Because it might be we're trying to please someone and not God. So when you serve God, it's a response. We give back to God because of love. 1 John chapter 4 says we love him because, why? He loved us first. So true giving, and I'm not talking about just finances. True giving is not where we got to whip it into you. That's legalism. True giving is because of love. True giving is because it's a response to this God who is love, and he pours out his love. He wins you over because of his loving kindness. You know, we don't have time to go around the room, but many of you received salvation through Jesus Christ, not because he smacked you, but because his grace, his mercy, and his love. And that's just who he is. There ain't no love in this world, right? We're New Yorkers. We know this, like, it's really rough out there. But this God, who is agape, who's love, he loved you. He loved you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus. And he sent him to die on the cross for your sins and mine. And this Jesus died in your place. He took our place on the cross. We deserved it, but he didn't. Amen? And so it's because of this grace, this mercy, and this love, we want to now love him back. So serving God is a form of love. Also, everybody needs to know this, that you and I serve someone or something. If you didn't know this, you need to know. Everybody has a God. Listen to me. And we're in New York. There's like tons of cults, and it seems like everybody on the streets has their own religion, their own thought of God and Jesus. Do you know that even the atheist, the one that says, oh, I don't believe in a God, even the atheist has a God, has someone that they worship. Who does the atheist worship? Self. Some of us are like, no, I don't believe in a God. I'm into philosophy. I'm a lover of knowledge, literally. Great, so guess who you're worshiping? You're worshiping yourself and don't even know it. So everybody has a God. Whatever is your God, you will serve. If it's money, you'll become just like your God. And money's a cold, cruel, harsh God. And I know that because for me, and praise God for Jesus Christ, because he saved me. I used to be one of those guys. I live in California. I used to go to the land of Las Vegas, the land of lost wages. And gambling was my thing for a while. I even thought, oh, this is my, it's not a real job, but I'll go out there, just win enough and come home. I used to fly in Southwest Airlines. But you're sitting there as a kid and you're like, kind of embarrassed to tell people that because it's not a real job. And it's really not. It's like, you just don't want to have a real job. That was just me. And I didn't know it until people showed me that I was addicted to gambling. And I come to realize I'm not that all that Asian. I'm kind of mixed. You go to some of those places, you're like, wow, there's like too many Asians here. Why is Asians so into gambling? You see it in the movies and the culture. It's that there's so many of us, even in here in American society, in our culture, we're addicted to what? The moolah, the dinero, the money. Right? So no wonder why you have churches, instead of preaching Messiah, they're preaching money. And people are like, yes, I want Jesus. No, I don't want Jesus for that. I want, because I come to him, I get money. That's fake. It's a sign that God's real and his word is true. Okay, so you come to Jesus and we want to serve him because we love him. But you need to know everybody has someone or something they serve. Here's what Jesus also says here. It's on the screen, on the display. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In Espanol, we did this in the Spanish service earlier today. I like how it says in Spanish. It doesn't say mammon, it actually says riches. Riquezas. I forget the word. It's riches. You can't serve God and riches. So mammon, that's another way of saying, the word means wealth or riches. So that's the challenge that we have. Okay, and I know that because that was me for a while, until Jesus saved me. Praise God, he saved me out of that. So everybody serves some kind of a god, either it's the God of the Bible, or it's money, or some other god. Continuing on, if you're following along in the, again, the PDF, you can scan the QR code if you want and download it. But continuing on to the next one here. So we're still speaking about what is serving. And not only does everybody have someone or something, some kind of god they serve, serving is also a choice. Here's what it says in Joshua chapter 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So serving is a choice. This is Joshua. So remember the story of the Exodus. The Israelites came out of Egypt. There's about 2 million or so of them, led by who? Well, first it was Moses, okay? They're wandering for about 40 years, and they came into the promised land, and now it's General Joshua. After Moses died, Joshua brought them in. And this is at the end of his book, end of his life. He's an old dude now. Joshua, I wish we had video, like a YouTube, hearing him. I imagine it's like, you know, General Joshua, probably a real gruff voice. Choose this day whom you will serve. You know, he's one of the two. Remember the men that came out of Egypt with the Israelites? About 2 million. Two of them left Egypt, but came into the promised land. Joshua and who else? Caleb. Okay, only two of them. 2 million people. Many men. Oh, they all died on the way, but these two had faith. And he's telling the people, choose. So serving God is a choice. Amen? Again, it's not this legalistic God. He's not smacking you so you stay in line. It's the agape love of God. And he loves you. And as a response, we love him back. So serving is love. Serving is also a choice. But notice what it says here. And also when you break this down, before we go on, I want you to see this. Notice what they have to do first. This might help someone here in this room. First, you need to do what? Put away the gods. This literally is what he says here. You got to put away the gods. So before you serve the God of the Bible, you have to put away the gods. Next, choose to serve God. That makes sense, right? So if you don't choose to serve God, you and I are going to remain what? Shackled, slave, enslaved to the gods, whether it's self or money or whatever it is. You and I, if we don't take off the handcuffs, you and I aren't going to be free. And now we're free to serve Jesus Christ. Amen? So you got to put away the gods and then what? Choose to serve God. And you got to do that because you and I might just backslide and go back. How many of you guys know that? If you don't choose to move forward, or I like to say grow forward with God, you and I right away, we're going to backslide. Now, I'm an ex-DJ. I was one of those guys working on the other side. You know, praise God now, Jesus Christ got me. But if I knew that you guys were Christians, I'd be inviting you out Saturday night. Why? I didn't know this till after I got saved. It's like, God, why didn't you just smash me or kill me like a bug? Because I thought it was a joke, just getting Christians drunk, hanging out late on Saturday night. Why? So that you wouldn't want to go to church Sunday morning. And me and my buddies, we would laugh about that. And later on, I came to Christ. I'm like, why didn't you just kill me? I can't believe I was, you know, so evil. There's people like that out there. Please understand that. So you're pastor of this church. I was working for the dark side, as you might say, right? Not knowing that it was for Satan. And later on, as God saved me through Jesus Christ, I came to realize, wow, there's people like that out there. Okay, so be careful of that. Okay, so you got to keep moving forward. Take off the shackles. Remove those handcuffs. Okay, put away the gods. And now choose to serve God. You got to move forward because there's people like how I used to be out there. Again, I opened my eyes to that, or he opened my eyes, and I realized, I can't believe that I used to be like that. And that's me. And I got to live with that. I'm like, wow. We were coming to Christ and then crying, just tears, like a baby. Oh, man, thank you. You know, just washing over me with his grace, his mercy, his love. Wow, I can't believe you rescued me out of that. Forgive me, because I must have dragged away hundreds of his kids away. And now he has me. You know what he does? He saves you. cleans you off. What does he do? He sends you right back in. And I love to be able to tell people these things. So you got to choose to serve God. And notice this too. You got to take a stand for your family. This might mean something for someone here. Like what Joshua says, as for me and my house. You know what I love about this? Today we might go around and do a survey. Now, son, now, daughter. Like, do you want to walk with God? You don't? Okay. And we maybe statistical analysis. He didn't even survey his family. You know what he's doing? He's taking a stand. I love that. As the men, the dads, the fathers, you're called to not just serve God, to be the leader. The men, the husbands, they're called to lead their wives. So in the Bible, marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. So we got to know about Christ. We got to walk in his ways. And the men are called to be leaders. You got to lead for the family. I like what Joshua says here in Joshua 24. As for me and my house. Again, you don't get any indication he's like surveying. It's like, no, I'm the leader. I'm going to take a stand for my family, my household. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve Jehovah, Yahweh. We're going to serve him. So choose to serve the Lord and take a stand to lead your household. For the moms, maybe the single moms, you got to take a stand for that. Okay, don't just like, do you want to walk with God? You know, I wish my mom died in 1986. I wish she'd be alive today. I could like help her out. She's just, you know, praise God for the moms. I have a heart for moms, single moms, because you got to be mom and dad many times, right? I grew up like that. But here's the thing. So you still got to take a stand for your family. Choose to take a stand for your family, for your household. God will honor that like he did with Joshua. Amen? Let's continue on. So when you're serving God and how to serve him, also serve him with humility. Look what it says here. This is on the display. It says Mark chapter 10. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." You remember that story in the Bible where James and John got mom involved? I think perhaps they're thinking, you know, Jesus is really good at telling us, his disciples, no. He tells us no all the time. It's like, we have all these great ideas. He always says no. I know he can't say no to mom. And how many of you men know, sometimes it's hard to say no to a girl, right? It's easier for another to get out of my face. But sometimes for a gal, for a mom, it's like, oh, let's get mom involved. This is that story. Continue on. And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." And we're going to jump to verse 42. But Jesus called them to himself. He's speaking to his disciples and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles," notice what he says, "lord it over them. And their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your" what? Servant. So those that serve in this church, guess what we give them as a title? You're a servant. You're serving Jesus Christ. "And whoever you desires to be first shall be slave of all." And by now you can imagine like the crowd kind of dissipating around Jesus. I don't want to be a slave. I don't want to be a slave to everybody. You want to be great in God's kingdom? There's a song, right? You want to be great in God's kingdom? Learn to be the servant of all. "For even the Son of Man," now Jesus, this is Jesus on Jesus. We all want to talk about Jesus. This is Jesus telling you about Jesus. Look what he says here. It's verse 45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." So after confronting and rebuking James and John, and even mom that got involved, it's like, look, lady, you don't know what you're asking. So they wanted the authority. They wanted the power, the position. They wanted to be seen above even the other disciples. And Jesus has to call out sin. He has to confront it. Amen? He does it in our lives. How many of you guys know that? He has to confront because he loves you. He has to confront it so that he can get rid of it. And so that's what he's doing. He realizes that these guys, man, it's just pride. And so this is a great example of humility. So now he's using an example and not even just saying, "Hey, James, John, and mom, look, I'm going to rebuke you because you're proud. You got to be humble." He doesn't even just do that. You know what he says? He gives them an example of what? Himself. "For even the Son of Man." So Jesus is saying even himself, he didn't come to be served. And if you look at this, God himself left heaven in the form of flesh. This one we call Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. He's the one who would deserve to be served, right? Even him, when he came, he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. So that's the example. So when you're serving Jesus, just like when you get saved, step one, day one, it's about humility. There's not going to be anybody in heaven that's proud. I got here because I was a good person. I did some really good works. How'd you get here? I'm a sinner and Jesus died for me. So there's going to be no one in heaven that came to him or that got saved because of who they were. It's about who Jesus is or got there because of what they did. Because you and I are saved by the grace of God. Amen? We just read that. Through faith in Jesus Christ. We're sinners. Christ Jesus died for us. We deserve to die on the cross for our sins, but it's replacement. He took our place, right? Substitutionary atonement is what we call that. He substituted me and you. We deserve to die on the cross. So there's going to be no one in heaven that got there because of being proud. We all start off by being humble. Amen? The trick, the key is to stay humble. So he uses this example in Mark chapter 10 to show us that, hey, pride only wants to serve self. And these two, James and John, they wanted to be seen good, even to be seen better than Jesus. They didn't want to have a master over them, which is Jesus, the ultimate master. They wanted to be master. And Jesus is like, you don't know what you're asking. So even Jesus himself, he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. Think about that. The one who deserved to be served, he came to give an example that he came to serve. So think about this. Think about this if you want to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Really? Then you need to serve. You need to serve him, whether here or wherever you are, because you are who you are in Christ, wherever God takes you on the planet. You need to serve people. And truth be told, here's the reality. Those who serve him will grow. They'll mature. They're spiritually mature. Those who don't, won't. You'll be blind, deaf, and dumb to that until you take a step of faith. And then God opens things up for you. That's just how it works with God. So be humble and follow Christ's example. He came to serve. And when we serve to please him. Here's what it says in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This word for acceptably can mean in a manner well-pleasing to one. So you and I, if you're serving God, you serve to be pleasing, well-pleasing to him. And listen, some of us are maybe healing over being people-pleasers. Again, like in the cartoon, Despicable Me, Gru was trying to please mom. He wanted to go and steal the moon. He wanted to be like the most villainous criminal. Why? Because he wanted mom. He wanted mom's attention. So how many of us, this is including me when I was growing up, I wanted my dad's attentions, my dad's affections. I didn't believe that he loved me. I didn't believe that he wanted me even. I grew up with just mom. And because of these things, I had to get over these unhealed heart issues. And praise God, my Heavenly Father healed me. So maybe there's someone here that you need a healing of this, because the work that you do, the striving, maybe it's, I got to get a better grade. Growing up with Asians, you can get an A. And the bummer in that for Asian families is sometimes they'll go, why didn't you get an A+? Anybody know that? Asians know that. That's like a weird thing. And that's not love. That's legalism. You get the A+, like, maybe you cheated. It's like you're never good enough. If you ever grew up with that, that's we could chuckle about that, but, you know, that's sad. You know, that's so much a part of a lot of Asian culture that that's put into movies. You know, the one, if you saw the spelling bee, where you could see the Asian dad's like, whoa. You know that kid gets beat, too, when he gets home. That's like old school Asian. Well, anyhow, that we're not like that, praise God. And I didn't grow up all that kind of Asian. But I remember my dad kind of being like that. It's like, you get a good grade. And I was a knucklehead kid. My mom would put up like the bad grades on the cork board in the room when he'd come over. He'd see it. Even I'm like, I'm so happy. I got a B, right? And he'd be like, oh, why didn't you get an A? And you know what's funny is later on, then my mom kept some of his old like college records. I looked at him like, what? Like, he got bad grades in some of his classes. I'm like, what? What? So again, that's legalism. Legalism is do as I say, don't do as I do. But with God, it's not like that. It's not legalism. It's love. So again, we want to serve him with love. But make sure you check your heart, check your motive, serve to please God. And this might mean something to probably about half of you here. Statistically, it's the majority of us. We tend to grow up in broken, you know, hurt families and all, and we tend to want to please someone else. I grew up, I remember, in California. There's kids I knew, they'd go to, like, we call USC, you know, University of Spoiled Children. And their parents would pay this ultimate, like, tons of money. Like, oh, mom wants me to be a lawyer or whatever. It's like, what do you want? I'm just going to go to class. I'm going to waste away their money. And it's like there's a lot of people, they're doing things and pleasing maybe mom or dad or both. But the reality is we can't serve God that way. We serve to please him and not the people. Amen? Make sense? Okay, be careful of that. So don't be a people pleaser. So again, going to the next slide here, the next page in this little booklet. So we look at how we're going to serve God. Serve God with his enabling. Here's what it says in 1 Peter 4. Each one has received a gift. Minister to one another. Do you know that you are given as a born-again Christian? He gives you gifts. It's like he supersizes it. Not just your salvation. He gives you a spiritual, supernatural gifting. You got to minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, the multiple-fold grace of God. God wants to pour out his grace. These are gifts of grace. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. He just gives it to you. Why? Because he's a gracious God. I love that. But you got to be a good steward over it. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, look what it says here. Let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when you and I serve God, okay, I'm going to refer to, I color-coded this too. Why? Because this is our vision for you. It looks better here. When you and I are serving God, this is how we're going to discover our spiritual gifts. You're calling with God. You're creating Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians 2 verse 10 that we wrote or that we read earlier when we opened up. As you serve God, that's how you're going to discover your purpose in life. I'm not going to give you that purpose. And I'm not the one calling you. God is for the born-again Christian. And think about that, Christian, for a moment. If you serve God, you're going to discover your gifts. If you never serve God, not only are you not pleasing God, hey, but you become your own God. And you're not going to discover the reason why you're still here, why you're still alive. It's marriage is great, family is great, but it goes beyond that. Where God wants you to discover the reason why you exist right now. You are created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. So Christian, let me pause at this. Let me throw this out. Who are those people? What type of good works has he called you to? I don't know what that is, but I want to love you. And can I be used by God? Can we as a church community help you so that you and I can discover why you exist right now? When I was younger and I got saved, I'm like, why am I still here? This planet sucks. Can't you just take me home? Just kill me now. Come on, I'm ready. Now, that might sound weird, but that was actually my prayer. Anybody else kind of pray like that? I find some of us do, right? You're like, all right, I ain't going nowhere till he takes me home. But that's because you and I have a mission with God. You got to discover that mission and then walk in that purpose. He'll give you purpose for life. So as you serve God, you're going to discover your spiritual gifts. Let me get back on track here. Okay. But God will equip you. He's going to enable you. So you and I might sit there and go, I can't serve him because I am not able. It doesn't work. That's the opposite of God. That's the way it is in the world. When you read the job descriptions, you look at, oh, how much do I get paid? How much PTO time? You know, that's how we look at things, right? But with God, you know what he does? He looks at your availability, not your ability. Like Isaiah 6, verse 8. Here am I, send me. He's looking for an available heart. Why? Because he wants to enable you. But all he could use is your availability, not your ability. He will give you ability. I'm proof of that. So let him. Surrender to him and his work and his ways. He'll enable you. Here's the goal in serving God. It's to glorify God. Here's what he says in 1 Peter 4. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, listen to what it says. If you want to serve God, Let him do it. So serve God with the ability which God supplies. Why would you serve God with what he enables you to do? He tells you why. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when you and I serve God with what he enables, equips, and empowers you with, your heart knows it was the grace of God. It was only because he enabled me, because I was just a loser in the world, and he saved me, he cleaned me up, still doing that work, and he gave me this enabling. Like, how did you do that? I don't know. Praise God. Can you do that again? You know, we're going to take our kids on a roller coaster sometime soon. You guys remember the first time when you were going on a roller coaster? Who here has been on a roller coaster? You remember that first time, the excitement? Who here loved the roller coaster? There's like a small percentage of who hated it. Sometimes some people hate, but who loved it? You remember when you love it, you get off, and what's your thought? I want to go back on it again. You remember that crazy thought? I remember in Disneyland in California. I grew up near there in Orange County. You get off, and you're like, your friends are like, it's going to be an hour in line. I don't care. Let's do this again. That's kind of like the walk with God when you're serving God. You get so excited. You think, wow, can you keep doing this? He'll blow away your mind. Let him blow away your mind. You're a kid in Christ. You're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Okay, so your goal in serving God is to glorify God. So what happens when we serve God? You're going to imitate Jesus. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Serving God is a sacrifice. And some of us go, I don't want to do that. I want Jesus to sacrifice. Well, if you want to hear from God, if you want to walk in his ways, if you want to spiritually grow, you want to spiritually mature, if you want to understand what your purpose in life, what your calling is, the call of God, is the only thing that's going to give you real purpose. Everything else will die. And everything else that you work for or that you dream up, build up, like the guy that says, oh, Jesus, I'm going to build a bigger barn to store more stuff. He says that guy, he called him fool. It's foolish. Why? Because that guy was going to die, and then what? You give your money over to someone else that just takes it. It's like, that's not fair. Exactly. Okay, so work for things of eternity, and how do you weigh that value? You know, eternity versus something that you can store up here that you might enjoy maybe for maybe an hour, maybe a day, maybe a month, maybe a year. That's it. And when you die, it goes to someone else. What do they do? I was that bratty kid that 1986, my mom died. Me and my sister Jill, I was 17 at the time. We found out that our mom made a bunch of investments. We started getting these checks in the mail. I remember sometime my sister lived upstairs. We had a two-story house, big house, five-bedroom, two-story. I go to the mailbox, Jill, another check came. How much? $30,000. It's like it happened all the time. But guess what we did? I was a DJ. I'm like, just giving out the money, buy more stuff. Guess what I did later on? Threw it all away. I'm like, wow. So anyhow, build up your treasures in heaven. And when you imitate Jesus, that's how you and I are going to mature. Next slide here. What happens when you serve God is that's how you're going to follow Jesus. Jesus says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Look what he says here too. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. That's John 12, verse 26. Notice that in serving Jesus and following Jesus, they go hand in hand. So if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you want to be a disciple, guess what you got to do? Serve him. If you want to serve him, you're following him. If you're not serving him, you're not following him. Guess who you're following? Probably Satan, probably self. Okay. So serving and following Jesus, they go hand in hand. What else happens? You're going to discover your gifts and calling like we looked at. And hey, by the way, you got to know that word for workmanship, poema, poem. Who here likes poems or poetry? Some of you do. Okay, a lot of us do. I do. I love poetry. To know that you are his poema, you're his workmanship. Another translation says masterpiece. Think about that when God says you're his masterpiece. That alone might be healing for someone to know that God loves you so much he sees you as his masterpiece. You're like, I feel like a wreck all the time. Well, he ain't through with you yet. It's like a master painter or the poet. He's still writing out who you are, right? He's still creating. Let him do that. So every Christian has a calling in the church. You need to discover what those good works are and walk in it. He's waiting for you to walk in them. What happens also when you serve God? The body of Christ will grow. It says in Ephesians 4, the body of Christ grows and is edified in love when, quote, every part does its share. I don't want to do my part. Well, guess what happens then? We all lose out, right? And again, I'm not going to smack you or like crack the whip because that's legalism. You got to respond to God's love. And some of you already have. Actually, many of you have. And you're the ones that are examples. You're going to grow. I see joy. And there wasn't joy in you when you first started, when you came in here. You get saved and you start walking. And then what happens? Living water, love, joy, peace. It just flows. It doesn't come from me. It doesn't even come from this church. It comes from God through Jesus Christ. You also get an eternal reward. Jesus will evaluate our faithful serving at the judgment seat of Christ. Wait a second. He's going to judge me? Yes. You can read about that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. We'll get to that soon as we go through the book of 2 Corinthians. And you and I, as Christians, we're going to reign with Jesus when he sets up his future kingdom. All right, this is the last slide. And maybe you're here and maybe you want prayer for these things, or prayer for something else, or prayer to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm not sure. I don't know all of you. I don't know where everybody's at. But I can just cast the net. You never know what you're going to catch. Just remember that God loves you. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for all your sins. No matter what they are, no matter how many sins you've done, he died on the cross for all your sins. And he wants to give you a new life, a new beginning, a new hope. You got to walk away from that old life and move forward with him. So for anybody that wants to start serving, and I'm also talking to the people we're live streaming right now, so maybe there's people that will watch this maybe a year from now or listen to the download 5 years from now. Wherever you're at in the world, pray, talk to the pastor of your church. For those of you here, let me know. We want to love you and pray for you. So every pastor is a disciple maker. Ephesians 4 verse 12 says that why God would have a pastor or a pastor teacher in a church is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to equip you. So we're equippers. We want to love you and help you and equip you so that you can honor and serve God. And to serve here, make sure you agree with our statement of faith. And we want to fulfill the Great Commission. We want to disciple you. And this is what we'll look for. We will look for fat disciples. No, I don't mean those that eat a lot of food. As an acrostic or acronym, disciples who are faithful, available, teachable. So those that are faithful, we have to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Those that are available, like Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Isaiah 6, verse 8. And teachable. You got to remain humble so we could teach you, exhort you, want to coach you and train you. Jesus said, make disciples. That's a great commission. And we want to be a church that teaches through the entire Bible, God willing, without man-made doctrine, and make disciples. We want to love you and help you so that you would grow to honor God. And here's some helpful hints for those that might want to serve God. But I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Can we get set up to have a time, Susan, to close with some worship at the end? But if anybody wants to be prayed for, I'm going to ask also JP and Jose, you two men, you want to come up, you can help pray for people. They could also pray for you if you want to pray in Espanol. Okay, Jose, JP. But before we partake of communion, maybe there's someone here that wants prayer. Maybe it's for these things we looked at. Maybe it's for something else. We're also going to have a time where we can just worship some more so you can worship. But in our church, we're a hands-on church. What does that mean? We don't want to just say, God bless you, go, we'll pray for you. We want to pray for you now so that you came in one way and you could leave transformed. You could leave loved, blessed. Maybe you have a prayer request. Can we pray for you? No matter what it is, I want to love you and help you. So as we get set up to close with some worship, we'll have some more time of worship, but also we want to pray for those that want prayer. And if you want prayer, I'm going to ask you to simply come forward, whether it's to receive Christ or that you would be prayed for maybe some of these things in serving God, whatever that is. Some of you might have physical healing to pray for, whatever those things are. Oh, just come up here. We can love you and pray for you. Praise God. If anybody else wants prayer, just simply come on up. Can we all stand, please? And again, if anybody wants prayer, you can come forward. We have oil. We can anoint you with oil to pray for you again. Oil is not the Holy Spirit, obviously. But oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. that we can anoint you with oil and faith, praying for you by faith that God would anoint you through his Spirit. Let's go ahead and close out this time to pray. We'll have a time to worship, and if anybody wants prayer, simply come forward. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. We ask, Lord, can you please? It's a holy moment, Lord. Send your Spirit to lovingly convict hearts to come to you. Send your angels to surround us, to protect us for this time, Lord. I believe this is a holy moment. You're going to do heart surgery with us here, and that's such a glorious thing, because you love us. And you're the one. Jesus is prophesied about you that you came even to heal the brokenhearted. You want to renew our minds even. You want to transform us from within. Do that healing, cleansing work that only you can do. Thank you for giving us this free gift of salvation. We read that we are saved by grace. It's because of you. It's not what we can do. We don't even deserve salvation. It's through faith. We believe, Jesus, that you are the Savior who died on the cross for our sins. We believe in you. We believe your word. You said, Jesus, anyone's thirsty to come to you. Well, this dead, dry, cruel world just leaves us thirsty. We're spiritually thirsty for the work of your Spirit. We need spiritual help, spiritual, supernatural healing. We believe in you. So please do that cleansing, healing work, as only you can do. Help us all, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.